Now I'd like to give the floor to Mr. Giancarlo Nicosanti, CEO of Unieuro. Mr. Nicosanti, the floor is yours.
Thank you, and good morning, ladies and gentlemen, to all the attendees online. We are here to comment a very special quarter because unfortunately it has been marked by the pandemic that has hit Italy and not just our country. We have gone through a very sharp stress test for our business model and our company, and I have to say that, well, results that were unthinkable until a couple of months ago. We will comment on these results, but I believe that the most important thing to say is that we were able to swiftly perceive and understand, we had the certainty that Unieuro's business model can really hold up even in such unthinkable events. It is a business model that addresses an omni-channel consumer, and I think that the response by Unieuro, which was of course the result of its strategy, well, this response was one of the best that we could possibly give. Well, we basically found ourselves to handle a very special time, and I think that March and April were very critical months. We can see it on page six of our presentation, where we have summed up the story of the past few months. It all started at the end of February. I'll be quick because we have already provided you with some news here, so I don't want to repeat myself, but I think it's just fair to really walk you through the first couple of months of this quarter. As I was saying, from the end of February, the pandemic started to touch the Italian market, the whole of across Italy. The first two things we did was to adopt health and safety measures and in stores and logistics hub in Piacenza. The Piacenza hubs was basically made safe from February 21st, adopting all the necessary protective measures. So far, it has never stopped. It has always provided an ongoing service to support all our sales channels. We also did the same for the headquarter from March the 6th. The whole Forlì headquarter is in remote working mode, so that the whole organization and sales channels can enjoy the usual service. This can be summed up with the final part of this slide. With March and April, we reached -30. -30 was a result whereby some channels boomed and some others imploded. For example, the retail channel, we closed our stores for over 2 weeks, and therefore these were the results. Most of all, the important thing here that I want to highlight is the May result, +20, and I have to say that June and July too reported positive results, and this really reassures us for the future of our company. Obviously, caution is called for, and we want to stay cautious because the risk of the pandemic is still there. Still today, both in logistics platform and in the headquarters and the stores, we are still adopting all the restrictive measures that are still envisaged by the different government decrees passed by the government, because we believe that this is very, very important, especially safeguarding the health of our employees and consumers. I have to say that you see here a list of all the activities, the furlough scheme or extraordinary redundancy fund that we adopted from the very beginning, and we stopped it from June onwards because we returned to normal and to normal revenues. That's why we suspended it. and then all the negotiations with suppliers so that the financial side could be safe, and then ranging to the all the activities that from both on the financial and economic point of view, all the activities that we implemented to achieve, let me say it, extraordinary results that we can comment on today. So on page 7, you see what I was saying before. Here you can infer that our business model, well, our business model was, did not need any change. On the contrary, the most important pillars were still there. Proximity was strengthened by the circumstances, and our stores, despite the 2 weeks of closure, they were closed to the public, but they were open for deliveries of online orders. So they did maintain some personnel there, guaranteeing service to consumers. And our affiliated business partners, they stayed nearly always open in spite of all the difficulties they experienced. Because although it seems that we are talking about many a very distant past, you will remember that social distancing, but also the impossibility to keep stores open in the weekends with all the measures that led to a limitation of people movement, well, they also suffered, these affiliated partners. But I have to say, there are 260 business partners really carried out a relevant work. And they showed that proximity really is a distinctive feature of UniEuro. Then customer experience in our stores, well, we launched some new services, and then I will go into detail with that. The pay and collect option was launched even during very strict lockdown measures, but working in an exceptional way in order to swiftly change some services that consumers needed. And also we created, we set up a new figure, the steward, still very important nowadays. They stand at the entrance of stores in order to manage a safe flow of consumers. And when I say it needs to be safe, what I mean is safe for our customers and employees alike. We think this has been a very important element, a really crucial one in managing the circumstances. Then retail mix. Well, different results here. Definitely the segment that was more into difficulty was the large domestic appliances. Durable goods are the ones that suffer the most, so these were difficult months for the white goods. But then this was offset by a good restart in May, June, and still in July. The positive thing is that we saw that the high demand on the grey sector, well, million people were forced to work from home, and million students were forced to study from home. So the high demand for the grey world, for the grey goods, led to a decrease in promotional activities and better margins in these segments. And this was the enabler of our strategy was a supply chain that held up. And I have to say that the only issues we had logistically were the couriers, because as you might imagine, in March and April, there was a boom in their activity because the whole trade world, and not just consumer electronics, experienced a boom of the web and home delivery channels. So our couriers who work for us, they did have some difficulty, whereas our logistics platform, as I was saying before, held up properly. And from then on, it demonstrated and proved that it can really stand very important quantities of orders. We will see the results of the online channel, but we really spent days when we had over 10,000 online orders per day. I think that the brand has come out really well from this situation, both because of the activities we deployed on stores and also for the attention to the safeguard and health of our employees and customers. We carried out brand equity activities. The most important one, we donated over 2,000 smartphones to hospitals in Emilia-Romagna and Lombardy for patients, hospitalized patients who had difficulty in keeping contact with their relatives who could not go and see them. Another thing that characterized this difficult, tough situation was the very strong, well-established relationship we enjoy with all our suppliers, because there's over 80 years of heritage in our company, and we experienced a lot of fairness, mutual fairness. In a situation where, you know, as you can imagine, having stores closed for many, many weeks, we had to renegotiate payments and goods flows, but we really were met with utmost cooperation from all our suppliers, and thanks to that, we were able to stand on our own two feet after the worst was over. On page nine, very quickly, the results that I like to call extraordinary, because we definitely experienced difficult and tough weeks and months in terms of sales, -13%, 66 million of decrease in revenues, an extraordinary result there, EBIT. Our CFO will go back to this. I'd like to remind you that we will only comment the EBIT of our company for this quarter. This EBIT experienced loss of 11 million rather than 1.5 million last year. A net profit, net income with 8 million loss. If you remember, the first quarter is absolutely not relevant and significant for our business. You can see it from last year's results. Cash requirements absolutely under control. Net debt only 11 million against 39 million last year. Net working capital adjusted end of May, -230 million against 199 million same period last year. Looking at slide 10, we see that the perimeter is the same as last year. We did not perform any significant acquisitions in this quarter, as you can imagine. We had suspended this M&A activities, and so the like-for-like lost -9.5%. If we remove the overlapping stores, the like-for-like only lost 5.5%. If we exclude from the scope the stores adjacent to newly opened stores. On page 11, the sales breakdown, how we achieved these results. As I was saying before, retail was the channel that suffered the most. There were 2 weeks of total lockdown, and then all the limitations that we had to put up with, that we had to comply with. Closed in the weekend, on top of the 2 weeks of forced closure, the Sundays for the whole month of April. In spite of all this, we were able to contain loss to -37%. Online obviously boomed. Our sales channels, both unieuro.it and Moncler, were really put to the test, but they held up properly, and they really were able to curb the loss in revenues in the stores, +142% that we see on this slide. Well, this definitely showcases a trend of the market, and UEuro was definitely able to ride the wave. Then the indirect channel, our affiliated partners, they lost less because nearly all of them were kept open, although they also experienced the fact that consumers could not circulate freely and smoothly in the stores, so they also had the closed weekends. I don't want to repeat this, so -17%. B2B channel held up properly, no effect there from the pandemic. And then a strong negative impact was experienced on the travel channel. As you might imagine, airports were closed for several months. Now, they reopened a few weeks ago. But as you can imagine, the traffic is very, very poor. So that's the reason for the -63%. What about the sales by category? As I was saying before, in spite of the 2 weeks closure and the many issues, the gray channel is the one that has the highest revenues, ended up with only -8%, thanks to the strong, buoyant demand, especially on the IT side. I was recalling yesterday that we were all forced to work remotely and study remotely. Therefore, this led to a very strong surge in demand for all the different tools, IT tools, to meet these demands. Then the white channel, as I was saying before, like in all crises, durable goods are the ones that are penalized the most, whereas there was a strong demand for small domestic appliances, of course, supported by the life that we were forced to lead at home and that we still have to, many of our consumers are still using as a lifestyle, adopting as a lifestyle. So there was demand for products by home cleaning and food preparation. So there was a very strong demand, and this result offset the higher loss on MDA. Then the brown was the one that suffered the most in March and April. In May, already went back to positive territory. This year, you might remember, it was to be the year of the Football European Cup, but everything was stopped, and all sport events were cancelled from March onwards. And therefore, this impacted sales. But luckily enough, since May, we have now been in positive territory. As to other products, positive results here, home entertainment especially, gaming, because people were locked inside their homes and that's why they bought these products, but also new segments like e-mobility, hoverboards, e-bikes and scooters, they experienced a positive peak in May sales, offsetting March and April losses. Services actually mirrored the loss in revenues because due to the white and brown goods. So this is an overview of both channels and categories. But for a more accurate analysis, I'd like to give the floor to our CFO, Italo. Yes, thank you, Giancarlo. Good morning to all the attendees. We have to say something straight ahead. We think it is necessary. As you know fully well, the IFRS 16 new accounting principles have been in force for a whole since last year. Last year, we preferred to adopt the transition phase, thereby presenting figures and data with the old criterion so that they could be compared with the previous year. But from this year onwards, we have decided to comment EBIT, the EBIT adjusted, and on the financial side, for the economic side. And on the financial side, we express both our numbers in terms of free cash flow and net financial position without considering the virtual, adjusted for the virtual component of IFRS 16. This is already something clear, and there's no way back from here. So, like most of our peers are doing abroad too, we will also be commenting our results this way. So now, quickly, this slide 12 with the economic results, where we show the trend in EBIT and net income. EBIT adjusted from minus 2.5 million last year to minus 11.1. So a net containment of the loss here. If you think that the effect on the gross profit, of course, linked to the pandemic, was more or less 30.6 million euros. This is the sum of different reasons and variables, the main one of which is the volume effect, so lower revenues. And then, on top of this, there was the impact on both channel and category mix. So, against this decrease in margins in the company, well, we were able to respond in a consistent way with substantial intervention on costs. As a whole, the sum of reduction is 22.5 million euros. So we reduced the loss by more than two-thirds due to the reduction of the gross profit. Then the main predominant part of the improvement comes from the labor cost, 15.8 million euros improvement there. Driven, as we were saying before, by the use of the furlough scheme that we decided to stop in June. Then marketing, a substantial positive contribution, 4.3 million euros, highlighting a trend that was actually present in the past few months of last year. There was a shift of promotional activity from the physical to the virtual, the digital side. And we can also state pretty clearly that the predominant part of the traditional marketing, flyers, in the first 3 months of the year, they did not generate any cost because they were suspended. Then, as to others, cost reduction, other cost savings, the main part has to do with the renegotiation of rents, and we see already some improvements reported in the first quarter. And then, in addition to that, there was more efficiency on the expenditure side, materials, utility costs, both in the physical network and in the headquarters. Logistics, a couple of words here too, 3 million euros up, and this growth is driven obviously by the staggering increase in online sales and home delivery, subsequent home deliveries, whereas the transportation component in the physical store network and the vending show improvement vis-à-vis the previous fiscal year. Well, net income, not much to say that there. The difference on the EBIT is basically the same as the difference you have on the net income, from minus 5.6 to minus 13.8 million, with two net interest and taxes components. These two items basically compensate for 400,000. Then, as to on the slide 13, you see the financial overview and the balance sheet. You see the free cash flow, minus 40 million there. This is in line with the results of the previous year. I'd like to remind you that the first quarter, the first part of the year, is a seasonally period when cash absorption takes place. And you can also see it from how the working capital evolves. All the actions and activities carried out both in terms of renegotiation of payment terms with suppliers that were very cooperative, thanks to the partnership we have with them, and also the stock where extraordinary results were achieved. So the stock levels are less than 100 million vis-a-vis last year. And also investments were adjusted, and the sum of all this was the fact that we had the same free cash flow as last year, net financial position negative for 11 million, much higher, obviously, for the reasons we just listed, much higher vis-a-vis last year, which was approximately 39 million euros last year. So I'd now like to move to key operational data. Number of stores the same, more or less 509. Then we have a slight reduction of sales density, close to 8%. And of course, this is linked to the low level of revenues in the first part of the year, especially. Then net promoter score improved from 47.5 to 48.3. This is slightly less comparable this year because nearly 90% of interviews were held with online respondents. Then a couple of words on the employees, number of employees decreasing by 5.5%, and this is due to the non-confirmation of fixed-term contracts and expiring temporary contracts. I'd now like to give the floor back to Giancarlo, who will give you some colors on the current situation and the future of our company. Thank you, Italo. I'd like to resume the floor and go to page 16 to reconvey to you what has happened. It is a return of return to normal, and for us it means to do whatever we have been doing the past few years. On page 16, you see the restart, although it was an agreement we had signed before the COVID-19, but we pursued it further. So we achieved the agreement with CIA Conad, one of the most important cooperatives in Italy, and they have 40 large hypermarkets. They were entrusted with these former Auchan hypermarkets, and we singled out five of them. Of course, always trying not to overlap with the current network, with the existing network, because we must be very, very careful there so that there is no cannibalization of revenues. Three of the five stores have already opened, and two are in the pipeline for the next couple of weeks. Then you see some other activities that have moved on. We opened a store inside Portello, one of the most important shopping centers in Milan. In Milan, we still need to increase our network, and this is an important piece in the puzzle. Then where we are still carrying out the opening of our stores. At the end of July, we will open a new store in Modica in Sicily, Ragusa, which is the result of a strategy that we started a year ago of trying to be present in Sicily, where we had no footprint. And between the end of July, beginning of early August, two new relocations are scheduled of Priglia and Asti, where we found interesting areas, more interesting and more appealing areas than what we had before. Communication campaigns continue, especially in important areas. Then on page 18, we are looking at the roadmap of new omnichannel services that we launched and we will launch in the coming weeks. I think it is one of the most important activities that featured our company in our company over the past few months, tough months, obviously, because also there were some logistics difficulties. Nevertheless, we had the possibility to work, and a few weeks ago, we launched two of these two omni-channel services. These are services that we also broadcast on TV. We thought it was important. I think we were the only one to talk about services on the TV and not just a product and a price. This is a fundamental step in our omni-channel strategy. The two services are a tu per tu, the possibility to make an appointment with a specific expert in a specific department and to speak direct to them. Then Filavia, which is the opportunity of booking entrance time and entrance time slot, thus avoiding queues. These are the first two services, three more to follow in the coming weeks, and I think they are really crucial to maintain, keep up a relationship with our consumers that must be based on two pillars. First of all, respecting their time. Obviously respecting their health, both of our employees and of our customers. To conclude slide 19, well, as I was saying before, the omni-channel strategy by Unieuro was really subject to a strong stress test. It came out winningly, but there is also the awareness that we need to still make some step forward because this strategy, well, Unieuro is the only single operator with this strategy on the market. It is unique to our company, and pervasiveness and omni-channel proximity, these were pillars that were part of our story and of our presence, and they will have to be part of our future. We need to have that capability to engage not just existing customers, but especially new coming ones, especially millennials. From this point of view, engagement on social media was very relevant, but at the same time, we must be careful to safeguard the financial side of our company. You will have seen it from the figures that we showed, the fact that we actually made our company safe and secure. It was a priority for all of us, and the results we achieved really were extraordinary. There is a word that belongs to the DNA of our company, speed. The speed at understanding the change in consumers, the speed at responding, not just to changes, but also to complicated events like an epidemic that touched upon the whole of our country, and unfortunately not just that. This means that Unieuro is there today. Unieuro was able to respond properly, but it means also that Unieuro will 3.5 points of gross margin lost, 3.5 points can be ascribable to the channel mix and to with how much to the product mix. The second question, going back to your slide number 12, was to better understand to what extent the cost savings that you showed in the first quarter, to what extent can they be replicated in the future? For example, marketing, it is not right to assume 4 million savings per quarter going on. And for rents too, what should we think? Are these renegotiations there to stay? That will there be a fixed lowering of costs, or is it just a temporary agreement for, I don't know, April, for example, when you were forced to have lower traffic? And the third question is on the current trading. In the press release that you circulated, it seems that June was pretty similar to May. Is it fair? And also I'd like to understand whether there is a strong balancing, rebalancing towards the online. As far as the first two questions are concerned, we can say, first of all, that the reduction by 31 million euros of the gross profit is due to what I said before. The breakdown of this reduction, and so the reduction in margin by 3.5 percentage points, we do not comment on this, but we can give you an indication, a quality-oriented indication, that is the following, 31 million euros. Most of this, the bulk of this, comes from the decrease in revenues, 70 million euros decrease, which brings with it a decrease in the gross margin, whereas the impact of mix, both in terms of channel and category, is half and half, just by chance. But I'd like to add something more. We are an omnichannel company. Really, it is not really meaningful to try and analyze a decrease in the mix and how much of that is due to this country, to channel, how much is this is due to products. Just to give you a straightforward example, if the online rises, and of course we know that the margin there is lower than the physical network, and on an equal footing, of course, you have an impact. But if that growth enabled you to sell high-margin products, of course, saying that there is a negative impact from the online is very limitative, especially, specifically due to the characteristic of a very articulated company where reading the numbers vertically by channel really does not make any sense. As far as costs are concerned, well, there is no single answer here. Of course, I'm talking about, I refer to a sort of stable situation like the one we're in now. If the things stay as they are now, and I mean especially some possibly relapse from the healthcare point of view and also economic impact. The furlough scheme that, of course, offered a lot of benefit in the first quarter, that kind of benefit, the extraordinary redundancy fund, will not be happening the following quarters. But this is not a negative thing. It means that revenues went up and we need really a maximum use of available resources. Then, as far as rents are concerned, of course, the negotiation concerns the first quarter, which is the time when we have substantial grounds for obtaining a decrease in rents. And for this year, what we can say is that the pandemic is not over. There are some, well, the negotiation is not over, I mean, there are some landlords that are still really with whom we have not reached an agreement yet. And the last to sign the agreements are the toughest ones. So most of the savings have already happened. It does not mean that there won't be others, but not probably the same amount. And what about marketing? Well, as far as marketing costs are concerned, in the first quarter, there was an extraordinary impact linked to the non-production of flyers, which is a traditional marketing. We also noticed that this, and we are still monitoring it, seems not to have any negative impact on sales, so we will keep it up for a few months. But we should also bear in mind that the digital side in the future will take on even more relevance. So, expecting that the 4 million decrease is something linear that can be replicated the following quarters is not correct. As to the current trading, I have to say that we, well, except for May, we saw that June was in continuity with the May results, and July 2 is performing in a positive way, although to a lesser extent. I believe that consumers now tend to be more careful in their purchases. Also, the categories involved today, they receive a different kind of attention from consumers, because consumers, they still are confined. A lot of more time is spent indoors at home. And also, the ways of communication have changed. As we were saying before with Italo, the investment that we are making in order to intercept and capture consumers is changing. Maybe I'd like to give the floor here to Mrs. Olivieri, who can be more accurate on this. Yes, good morning. Just one remark on what Italo said about on marketing costs. The entity will not be the same, but we will not go back to what happened before, because in the past 4 months, in a very special time of the Italian social situation, these 4 months demonstrated and showed that the impact of the digital side is pervasive. But at the same time, we have collected enough data to rebalance things in a much more accurate way, to rebalance the mix also with a paper, with a printed side. So maybe it is not fair to talk about 4 million costs, and also it is not fair to repeat the cost of last year. So there will be a saving here, part of which will have to be reinvested in the digital marketing. Then as far as communication mix is concerned, for 2 months we had a very peculiar situation where, paradoxically, to support the digital channel, the most efficient means was television. Efficient for two reasons. First of all, because the audience had moved indoors at home and with 35% less cost than last year. So much so that during the same time, for the first time, to support online sales, we even brought Monclick onto television. And this testifies that it is really the most efficient means of communication. Then May, rebalancing took place, and obviously, since the performance of the web and the online channel, both in terms of app and website, this performance is still growing triple digit. Of course, that channel is supported with larger investments, especially performance. Thank you. You're welcome. Next question from Andrea Bonfa, Banca Akros. Yes, good morning, everyone. I have three questions. One is commercial in nature, and how do you see the back to school this year in the light of the confinement and the digital upgrade of families and households for their children and for their remote working? And do you see this in a net increase in volumes, or will this be to the detriment of Black Friday? Then a comment. I read that there are some hotspots of coronavirus in some logistics open players. I don't know whether if you see any risks there. And then if you can give us an indication on the state of health of your competitors. Thank you. Well, as far as back to school is concerned, we undoubtedly expect it to turn into positive results. From a strategic point of view, we have made some changes also in terms of communication. We cannot obviously give you any preview on that, but it will be a discontinuous kind of action because we really want to meet the needs of households. I think that in September, school will be one of the big issues of the country. Definitely, the possibility to study from home will drive all families to buy one device for each component of the family. Italy was lagging behind vis-à-vis the European average here. That's why we were suffering because of the soaring demand. We are now reorganizing the offer supply in terms of categories in these precisely this week so that we can be ready for September. Well, you see, I think that many purchases have already been pulled forward, so it could be that Black Friday is penalized by this. Personally, I think that there will not be such a significant impact. And then going back to your question on logistics, the caution we want to display over the coming weeks and months means that we do not want any hotspots to happen in Italy. And I believe that this is a decisive factor, not just for us, but for us too. So much so that the measures we adopted on the headquarters and logistics, we keep them unchanged. If possible, we try to expand them even further because we want to be certain that we can keep working in continuity. As far as the Black Friday is concerned, I think that there can be a loss, some loss of purchases, but we will see whether the performance in June can be repeated in July and August, and this will give us more visibility in how much, to what extent the loss can be for Black Friday and peak season. I don't think there will be such a significant loss, truth be told, but it will obviously depend on what happens in July and August. Maybe Luigi Fusco can give us more colors on the logistics. Yes, good morning, everyone. As Giancarlo was saying, we are always very alert because the situations that happened at TNT and Bartolini, the couriers, you see, they leave us concerned because COVID-19 does not leave anyone peaceful. We had decided to adopt even stricter measures, especially on the Piacenza Logistics Hub, like we did in February. We have basically anticipated the timing. We already had a contact with the cooperative because we wanted to pull forward the serological tests to all employees. We have made our measures even more stricter, the protocol measures that we had in February. And on top of that, We will have some distance sensors that are also used for other logistics activity, but whenever a logistics operator comes too close to the colleague, more than, there will be an electronic device in his pocket that will start vibrating. Of course, we all know that nobody can feel really safe from the COVID-19 until we have a vaccine and the whole world is clearer. But of course, these are the measures we adopted. The external suppliers in already from the past month, they cannot absolutely enter into contact logistics headquarters. Before, already, they had some cages where they would stand with us, stay coming into contact with our operators. In the stores, we obviously adopt the approved measures, and on top of that, there is a steward that basically screens the temperature for our customers. So distancing, temperature screening, and constant sanitization of hands and face masks, I think that this is really keeping us sheltered from this from the contagion, but we can never be safe. And as far as the question on the state of health of the competition, we spent many months where we were worried about the health of UniEuro, and now we can answer with more confidence that we have passed the test so far. We are cautious, we want to be cautious, because we can't even envisage what might happen in the coming months. But as far as competitors are concerned, well, this is definitely not concerning for us. Maybe some of them were helped during the lockdown, they were helped by the proximity, but I'm convinced that an omni-channel strategy like ours with a strong website like Euro.it plus Monclick is the best strategy to tackle the market in the coming years. And I have to say that our proposition is still unique. Thank you. Next question from Alessandro Tortora, Mediobanca. Yes, good morning. I have three questions. The first one, if you can go back to the online front. If I understood you correctly, in a more normal month like June at first or early July, the online compartment is still growing high, triple digit, I heard. So I'd like to know whether in a more normal context where people go throng back into stores, online will stay significant. The second question, I'd like to understand how the company will manage inventory, considering that maybe something that you can do faster. So how will you manage the restocking in the next in the coming quarters? And the third quarter is how on liquidity management. I'm sure that you have drawn your lines, but there is still a very limited use so far. So what are you doing here? Of course, there is still uncertainty. And I read on the slide that you are considering other alternatives, but for the time being, the company doesn't seem to need this. Thank you. On the first question, on the online, the triple digit is still in the year to date from since the beginning of the year. After May, we still see very interesting double-digit growth, whereas there was a net rebound of the offline channel. But the interesting thing to notice is that in the first quarter, you saw the growth that we delivered, which is much higher than the market. And from our analysis, it means that we were able to still steal some shares from our competitors. And then to give you a figure on new customers, as you know, over 2 million new consumers have now entered the digital world. During the lockdown in the first quarter, we saw them all, basically. Maybe not all of them converted their attention into a purchase, but there was a threefold increase of our users on our digital platforms. Thank you.
Yes, good morning.
As to the second question, how to optimize stocks, I can answer. Gabriele Gennai speaking. Well, we started our path, and we will be carrying it on in the future. So the idea is to have an inventory with a turnover. This is something that we want to do for the full year. Okay? But and then as far as liquidity is concerned, of course, both with the end of the quarter and now, in the past few weeks, we have a wide availability of credit lines and undrawn credit lines, both the pool and the bilateral ones. It is not a secret here. About 125 million euros, it is a stated amount, and at the state of the art, of course, saying beforehand that if things stay the same as it is now, if the situation does not worsen, we believe that we will not be forced to use some further financing also with the SACE guaranteed funds. But we have the flexibility, we have a free hand here, and if we feel it advisable, and if there is the need, we are ready to make use of what we can, because we have already negotiated with all the banks in the pool, but this is the liquidity situation. So you confirm that once there is no lockdown in autumn, like the one in the first quarter, the company would not have any liquidity issues?
Yes.
Yes, that's right. You should also bear in mind that what Gabriele said, and the situation with stocks, of course, this is the most important part of the benefit. It is as if we had set up a new line that is costless, but yes, okay, thank you. For the time being, there are no more questions. Very well. Well, hopefully, we were able to answer all your questions. Of course, we are still available for you, also through our IR. And I'd like to thank you for your attendance, and we will definitely talk to you again for the first half results. Good morning, everyone. Goodbye. Chorus Call operator speaking. The conference call is over. You can disconnect your phones. Thank you.